Welcome to Moved by Grace, the podcast of Harvest Bible Chapel in Cambridge, Ohio.
Happy birthday, church. Happy birthday. Amen. And I had wrestled back and forth this week. Do I continue in 1 Peter? God had just been bringing this message back, this message again back. I sat down on Tuesday. I did all my studies in 1 Peter. I left here. And God just kept saying, John 21, Nate. So I went back to my office and I got on my computer and I looked it up and I'm just like, John 21. When was the last time I preached that? And it was the first core team meeting in January of 2012. How many were at that meeting? Yeah, five of us. Praise God, that's God's work right there, by the way. You can say amen to that, amen. All right? Because all of you have come after that, which is also good because you probably haven't heard this. It's a message, though, that it's called When I Need Him Most. It's the story of our existence that is repeated again and again and again. In our church's history, we're often desperate for God. We're often destitute. There's moments when we need Jesus. 7.5 years ago, when I spoke that to the 18 people that met in my basement, I think about all the times that I didn't realize that had happened between then and now, and this was the outpouring of that. Read the text with me, if you would, John chapter 21. After this, going back to the resurrection, going back to the appearing to the disciples, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together, and Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the others with him said, we will go with you. And so they went out and got in a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just by a quick show of hands, how many can relate? I call it casting. I cast a lot. I don't fish because the fish don't bite. Oh, that's such a good point. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, lads, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. He said, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, John, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. I love this part. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land. They were about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. And so Simon Peter went and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, although there were so many, the net yet was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish, and this was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, now we pray, we need you in this moment like we have never needed you. Come and speak. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm not sure the exact date. In early 2012, it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was a knock on our door as we lived in Byesville. It was a Sunday. It was the first Sunday that we were going to have Sunday evening church for our core team. It was a big, big deal. We were moving from just assembling people now to having some semblance of worship and getting in our DNA, and it was a big thing. And we were going to be meeting down at what is now Ladder's Coffee Shop on Sunday evenings. And there was a knock at the door. And when we opened the door, there was a lady who I won't name, but we knew her very well. And she began to ask us a series of questions. Serious questions. Not accusing, just wanting to know. I finally asked her, what's going on? And in that moment, it seemed that my former employer, following their morning service, had had a meeting about our potential church plant, Harvest Bible Chapel. More directly, a character attack specifically aimed at me. Destitute. Broken. I can remember thanking her and answering as many questions as she had, and then retreating to my room with my wife. And I remember what Spurgeon had said after the fire, struck down by depression and destitute. And he recorded, "Lord, even if it costs my reputation, as long as you get the glory." I wish I could tell you that it, from that moment forward, it played out differently. But as I prayed that, I knew that it was going to do that very thing. But moving forward, even if it costs us our reputation, we wanted God to get the glory. I don't tell you that for self-glory. I don't tell you that because I still have problems that I'm working on, and there were problems that had arisen that I had worked with them on. But because the principles that I had taught in that lesson helped me draw closer back to God every time, every moment. And I hope that they will for you today too. Listen, church, there's the time. Look up here. There comes a time when you really need the Lord. There comes a time, situations being what they are, that you need a fresh touch from Him. You need a fresh ministry. And that's the situation where we find the disciples. Think of all they had gone through in this last weekend. 3 years with Jesus, now in one weekend he's gone. They missed him. They missed his touch. Sure, they had seen him. Sure, they had shared a meal with him. They missed his presence. And there was a word for that, and it was destitute. Have you ever been there? You don't have to raise your hands. At the end, frustrated. Not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do, not knowing who to turn to. For the man who lost his job and has mouths to feed or medical bills out the ear and no food, no job in sight. For the woman or that man who's struggling in a bad marriage, struggling to love and receiving only cold neglect on a good day and harsh antagonism on bad ones. To the lonely person in a city of strangers. To the couple struggling with no family or infertility. To the defeated Christian struggling with sin, confess, no hope. To the adult with no family, to the heartbroken lover. At the end, destitute. Tragically, a lot of believers are in this cycle. Listen, not really seeing God work, going through the motions, committed to the process, white knuckle perseverance. But where is God now, Nate? I really need him now. And that's the place we found the disciples. Thursday, there was the garden, there was the dinner, there was the betrayal. There was Peter, who left after the cock crowed two times because he had denied his Savior. There was Friday and John at the cross and Jesus, it is finished. There was Saturday. 3 years we walked with this guy, not remembering what he had said. After 3 days, I'm going to rise. There was that glorious pronouncement from Mary. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. There was Jesus appearing to them. But now he's gone. Between Jesus having Jesus every day and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, they're now in Galilee waiting for him. And here's our first principle. When I am at the end, when I am destitute, Jesus is there for me. Amen? I'll say it again so you guys can say that. When I'm at the end of everything, Jesus is still there for me. In the text, it says that they're in Galilee. Simon Peter and six others. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. It's interesting, though, that none of the other ones said, no, Peter, we're supposed to wait. No, Peter, when they were just at the same point, they just said, yeah, let's go. I find it interesting when you're doing what God wants or when you're not doing what God wants, there's always a group of people to follow you. Yet I am deeply comforted by the Lord on the shore. And we need to dispense with the notion that when we choose to walk away from God, that he walks away from us. It's just not true. Right. Have you studied Jonah or Gomer or Israel or King David? I just love the thought 100 yards from shore. And we see in the text they went fishing. Now, of course, they were supposedly career fishermen, yet everything we read in the scriptures is Jesus helping them fish. I'm not sure how good a fisherman they are, but career fishermen. Now, if you're a fisherman or even just a casual, anybody with me, any casual casters out there? Maybe you caught like a bluegill. Come on, anyone? Any of you real good fishermen? Let me see your hand. All right, good. There's a few of you that are lying, and only one of you that I think is telling the truth. If you think about fishing, where do you usually go when you go fishing? You know? Well, where there's water, I mean, obviously, yeah. Maybe that's my problem. I don't know. It's a lot like that quarantine meeting back then. But I always go back to like when we had a pond in our front yard, there was a certain bank that I would always fish at, and I was always throw it to the same direction because there was always that same fish that I would catch coming back the other way. I was a great fisherman there. I caught fish, right? But little kids outfish me in my own pond. So, but I was thinking about the other day, Jer and I, we went fishing, and there's no fish in Salt Fork, by the way. I'm just here. There's turtles. Jer caught a turtle. I saw a copperhead. What else did we get? I mean, you caught a fish. That was that one fish that must have swum in the wrong direction. So there was one fish in Salt Fork. But you always kind of go back to that same spot, right? Where you had that great catch. Now, they had a great catch in Luke. You see that story when Jesus calls them to be disciples. Now back at this great spot, fishing all night. Think about that, right? In fact, just to help, because the lights are on, in case you guys didn't notice, close your eyes and just, serious, I'm watching. Close your eyes. And now we're night fishing. Your favorite spot, right? You see it? No boats on the water. The moon is out. It's calm, right? Now before you fall asleep, open your eyes. Come back, come back, come back. It's quiet. This is you. Maybe your friend casting out there, thinking, wouldn't it be great to catch something? And that's the situation we find the disciples in. Quiet, calm, just a little bit out from shore, and I'm deeply comforted that Jesus was right there, listening to every word. Think of the things they were talking about. Remember that time when we had those 5,000 people and Jesus fed them all? Remember that time when Lazarus, we said, we need to go to Lazarus, he's sick. And he's like, listen, it's going to be all right. I've never seen someone so ugly coming out of the grave. Remember that time he broke bread with us? Man, I miss him. I'm deeply comforted that when we are not where we're supposed to be, he is always where we can find him, always right there with us. And it matters no, listen, it matters not how long you've struggled. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed. It doesn't matter how deep the sin. He is waiting for you, and he is waiting there to say, listen, as if you were hearing his voice, give up with this I'm going fishing routine and come back to the shepherd who loves you. When you are at the end, Jesus is there for you. But now notice verse 3. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught, what's the word? Nothing. Should be like deja vu. And as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And he said to them, have you caught any fish? And they answered, no. And he said, cast it on the right side of the boat. Now, I just underline that there because I'm thinking, if I was throwing nets, maybe it's a thing, I don't know. Maybe throw it to the right side if there was nothing. Maybe I'd throw it to the left side. But it seems from the text that they're just throwing it on the left side, right? Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Here's point number two. Point number one, when I'm at the end, destitute, Jesus is there for me. Point number two, he reveals the futility of our efforts done apart from him. I love that. Hey, boys. Hey, lads. What'd you catch? It's a rhetorical question because Jesus knew that they had caught nothing. In fact, it's kind of a, how lame are you guys, fishermen? I was thinking about this. I was talking with Jer about this morning. What do you think the first miracle was there? Because we're going to jump right to this 153 fish, but I think the first miracle was the no catch. Like, I mean, all night throwing a net, not even catching a turtle. They're catching nothing. It's possible that maybe you feel like those disciples in a parched place, and my heart goes out to you. Why is it so hard right now, Nate? Why is it so hard? Listen, because he reveals the futility of a life apart from him. God is so committed to teaching you this principle that you can't make it without him. In fact, John 15, just before this all happened in the garden, Jesus gives them this great visual picture about, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then he says, apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
And we often look for the fleshly answer because we want to be like Peter. And that's, I'm going fishing, and God and his message is clearly wait. And we settle in our own strength to find the answer. And that, listen, that's often the point of failure. We're often trusting and trusting and praying, waiting for God, not seeing him move at the point that I wanted him to move. When I thought he should make this happen and conclude that there was nothing that's going to happen, so we go off in our own power, when clearly God's answer was, wait. Why wait, Nate? Because God reveals the futility of a life apart from him. I was thinking about this in relationship to where we've been as a church. One of the biggest things that God told us to wait on, or often moved us, was in finding a place to call home. And I was sharing with Jer in our prayer time this morning. We were vagabonds for a long period of time, maybe 5 years, 4.5 years, living out of a trailer. Yeah, we had North Elementary. And once we got kicked out of North Elementary, we were at a park. And I remember Mike and I going to look at a couple retail spaces. There was a closed down factory that we looked at. I remember the old Goodwill building. I remember talking to them. I remember vividly, though, it got really real with Washington Elementary. 5 blocks from here. A friend of mine had the building, and his church organization was ready to sell the building, and I knew this was where God wanted us. I knew it. And I had the key to the building, and I would go in, and I would pray through that building, and I just knew. And there was a point in this where the elders were like, no. And I'm like, God, isn't this where you want us? Why aren't you moving the way I want you to move? Because this would be perfect for us. Little did we know. I remember we looked at a church that had closed its doors and moved to Byesville. And it was like a 100-seat auditorium, and it was on the south side of Cambridge. And we took like 50 people through it. And 100% of them, I was all excited, it was going to be awesome. 100% of them said, no! I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? There's often times I was on my knees crying, God, why are we in this park? Can't be in Pritchard this Sunday. Lord, what are we going to do? And he was just showing our efforts apart from him and him opening the door. Futile. But we would react in our own strength. Angry and frustrated. And isn't that often how it is? Look up here. Isn't that often how it is when you're wanting God to do what you want him to do, not necessarily what he wants to do? And you're like, why aren't you doing this? God, Publishers Clearing House is like, they want to give me money. Why aren't you giving it to me? Why haven't I won the lottery? Why is this happening? And you're in your own strength. Well, what's that look like, Nate? How do I know? How do I know I'm in my own flesh? How do I know this isn't? How do I know? Okay, I came across this list of top six reasons when you know you're in your own flesh. Write them down or it's on the app. You're in your own flesh when you haven't been spending much time with the Lord lately. Quiet time and prayer. When you record and you've noticed it's been a week, it's been a month, I haven't been to church in a while. You're in your own flesh when you're just, when you're tired all the time. Just, I come home from work and I'm tired. I get up from 8 hours of sleep and I'm tired. I take a nap and I'm tired. It's tiring to be in your own flesh. Maybe this is you. You're in your own flesh when little things put you over the edge. Shoes everywhere. Kids' toys everywhere. Stuff. The lawnmower's not working just right. The dogs bark too loud. My husband snores too loud. Little things just put you over the edge. You're in your own flesh when you dream of a different life. It would be just so much better if you fill it in there. But the truth is, the grass isn't what? Greener on the other side. You're in your own flesh when you have no victory over temptation. I'm just a weakling when it comes to chocolate. I'm just a weak, I log onto the internet. I know I'm not going to go to that site, but I can't help myself. I know I should be reading my Bible, but there's other things. And the temptation to do the other things. And lastly, because when you think through these, I haven't spent much time with God. I'm tired all the time. Little things put me over the edge. I dream of a different life. I have no victory over temptation. I have no joy. My joy, a supernatural delight from God that He gives us in who He is, His purposes, and His people. I have no joy in that. Why? Because you're in your own strength. And God is so committed to the process of letting you know that He loves you and He wants you in His strength, in His power, to do what He wants you to do. He's committed to that. And so He will reveal the futility of a life apart from Him. Well, that's me, Nate. What I cross off four of those six there. What do I do? Well, I love where the text goes because it gives us the answer. Notice this. Number three, He provides in abundance when the time is right in the way He deems best. Notice from verse 6, it says this. And He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. I want to take each one of those there, break this down. He provides in abundance when the time is right in the way He deems best. Because here's the thing. Look. You might be stuck at a wait moment right now. And you need to be encouraged. Clearly the disciples were in a wait moment. Jesus said, go to Galilee. Wait for me there. He didn't say anything about going fishing. And Peter in his own strength says, I'm going to do what I normally do, which is my thing. I'm going fishing. And he takes others with him. And God revealed the futility of that when He said clearly, wait. And maybe you're in a wait moment. Maybe you're waiting to see God work. You wanting to see God work. He's just not moving on my timetable. Now think about that, because a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. It's barely breakfast right now. Notice He provides. Question. Who do you think is responsible for the great catch of fish? Was it Peter driving to the right spot, or was it John with just the right flick of the wrist? No, it was Jesus. Because apart from him, we'll never have enough. Amen? Apart from him, we'll never have enough. Amen? And the key is, we never have enough when we live outside and leave Jesus. He provides. Lads, cast it to the other side. Just throw it. I just know right where the fish are at. I can see them from here. And then notice in abundance. Now, I'm thinking back of that story in Luke 5 where Jesus calls the disciples and it took two boats to pull this in. But this was, according to the scripture, one of the largest catches of fish ever recorded. He provides in abundance. Does anybody know how many fish? 153. But notice what kind of fish. It wasn't 153 sunnies. It wasn't 153 shrimp. Jesus provides large fish. He provides in abundance. I think about where I'm standing right now. Versus 6 years ago, standing at a park with squirrels helping me with a message behind me. Air quotes. I think about where I'm standing right now in relationship to getting a phone call from Heath Hayes saying, hey, you guys can't come back anymore. You need to find a place. I think about where I'm standing right now versus the leaky basement with 18 people in there wondering, God, are you going to work? He provides in abundance. Amen? Notice there's two types of abundance here I want to talk about. The first is monetary or blessing or even friendship. I think about we lost everything. Like, we ran into a couple just this last Sunday. We ran into two couples. One of them was Paul on a scooter. Paul. Another one was friends that we had from way back. We were able to have like a half an hour conversation. It's the longest conversation we've had with them. They were like our best friends, and we lost. But now we have all of you, whether you like it or not. We love you. He gives abundance in our friendship. He gives abundance in blessing. Just watching the baptisms roll by. Watching the lives that have come to Christ. Watching the marriages restored. Those are blessings. He provides in monetary ways. I've never missed a paycheck. I mean, that's a miracle right there. But also, not just in this numeral kind of way, but think about the abundance of filling. That God provides in such a way that you're just like full. I'm so content with what God is doing right now. I just know that this is the right place. I know this is the thing that I should be doing. I'm just full. Notice then, when the time is right, and Jesus watched all night. I'm sure he could have just said, hey guys, throw it on the other side, somewhere around midnight, you know. Then 1 o'clock happened. Come on, guys. 2 o'clock happened. 3 o'clock. 6 a.m. They're almost ready. Hey, guys, you caught any fish yet? And he would say to us, are you tired yet? Look up here. Are you tired yet? You've been fishing all night in your marriage. You've been fishing all night in your medical problems. You've been fishing all night in your economics. You've been fishing all night with school and frustrated. And he provides in abundance when the time is right, in the way that he deems best. So I was thinking about this. This stage is about 12 feet across. 12 to 14 feet was the size of a boat. What's the upgrade? Which is the left side. This is the left side for me. What's the upgrade from here to there? Like you just said, just take your nets over here, throw them in. I think it was to highlight the miraculous. The end of your effort and the beginning of our effort together. It was to show how close also the provision was when we obeyed God. That's the same with us. Like, there was a school that I was praying hard for, 5 blocks from here. And God, no. You know, there was a time I snuck in this building when they were having, like, there was people in here, and I acted like I knew what I was doing, and I walked around, and I said, no way. And I went back over there, and I prayed some more. And he said, no, 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 wait, wait, wait. In fact, my wife and I were talking about this on Wednesday during practice, and she's like, yeah, we were praying. I told you I was going to start praying for it, and you said, no, we're not praying for it anymore. The Lord will reveal to us when it's time. And she was right. I remember having that conversation with her. Because he provided in abundance when the time was right and in the way that he deems best. How to experience the provision of Jesus. We'll finish with this. I wonder if you would just do one thing with me. Okay? Would you take your hands? And I want you to just, I'm watching. Put them like this. Can you do that? Just, I want you to look right at them. In your hands, what is the thing that you would have the Lord do for you? What is the thing you're waiting for? What is the thing that you want Him to do now? You have it? Maybe just close your eyes and focus with me for a minute. Do you see it there? Listen, church, do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that He wants to do a fresh thing with you? Do you believe that there are things that He wants to give you, He longs to wait to give to you, for you to respond with your faith, whether it's healing or restoration or victory or a new season of grace or blessing? Do you believe that? Look up here. 3 things. Here's what you do. Do exactly what He says. All right? Notice in the text, do exactly what He says without question. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. Luke 5 records that when Jesus told him to cast it on the other side, Peter's like, well, we've been fishing all night, but nevertheless, teacher, in other words, I'm a fisherman. You're a teacher, carpenter kind of dude. I know fishing, but nevertheless, just to prove you wrong, I'll throw it on the other side. This time he's like, okay. Do exactly what he says without question. 5 reasons for not putting the net on the other side. We're tired. We're just tired. We're not stupid. We know fishing. And if there's fish there, we'll look like idiots. Listen, you stick to the spiritual things. We know fishing. There's a difference when you got to get that turned around. I said I can do it on my own, and I meant it. Peter never questioned. Peter just did it. And then notice, do exactly what he says without question. Go to him as soon as possible. John says, it is the Lord. And Peter threw himself into the water. I love that guy. He just got my robe back on. And this is how they worked, all right? They had their undergarments on. They worked all night. That way he put his robe on and he swam to shore. But it's not like I was thinking like it was from here to the football stadium. It's really not. It's 100 yards from shore. It wasn't that far. But I love, sometimes you feel like I'm just a proper person, Nate, and I can't really do that. No. Peter's like, forget that, man. There's a gap between me and God. It's not supposed to be there. I'm going to get to him as quickly as possible. How do I do that, Nate? I would say study Psalms when David says, cry out to the Lord. This carpet, you can't quite see it, but it's stained with my tears when I just come in here and lay on it and cry out to him. Do you have your spot where you go to him when you need him most? Because you're the one in the boat and he's the one on the shore. And you need to get there now because you're missing a wonderful opportunity. Our worship team's going to come now, and here's our last one. Be willing to bring what you have. I love this. Like, you get to verse 8, and he's like, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. And when they got out, there was a charcoal fire. And I just love this imagery. Jesus had started a fire. Jesus had fish on the fire. I don't know. Did he catch the fish? Did he make the fish appear? It doesn't matter. He had fish and bread. Same question. Jesus was a baker, maybe? I don't know. But then he says something really intriguing. Jesus had bread. Jesus had fish. They were about to have breakfast. But then he says, bring some of the fish that you have caught. John's over there counting. 151, 152, 153, the greatest catch ever. And Peter's like, but Lord, why should I? Just bring some of the fish that you have caught. We learn so much about how he interacts with them and how he interacts with us. Because sometimes I feel like we gotta clean ourselves up, we gotta be perfect, we gotta get ourselves in the right way before we can come to him. Or we don't have any fish. But there's so much love in his statement, bring some of the fish that you have caught. And that same Savior who stood on the shore would say to us, can we have a fresh new thing this morning? Can we work on this together? Must you always strive on your own? What's the thing that's holding you back? What's the thing in your hands right now that you would have the Lord do so much for you? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows your heart. He would hear from your heart, no, Lord, I'm not going fishing anymore. I'm going to do exactly what you say, without question. I'm going to go to you as soon as possible. And I'm going to bring what I have. Oh, the joy I found in surrendering my crowns at the feet of the King who surrendered everything. Oh, the peace that comes when I'm broken and undone by your unfailing grace. I can lift my voice and say, you can have it all. Every part of me. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. When I'm at the end, Jesus is there for me. And he is so committed to revealing the futility of your life apart from him. He's committed to that. And maybe you're struggling in the weight right now. Listen, he'll provide in abundance when the time is right, in the way that he deems best. Your job, go to him as quickly as possible. Do exactly what he says without question. Give him everything. Just bring what you have. If Jesus can use some fish and some loaves to feed 5,000, he can use what you can bring. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in our midst. We thank you for 7 faithful years. As we've white-knuckled, committed to the process, many times in our own strength, trying to do the very thing that you're trying to pull us away from, and you slowly draw us back towards you. We thank you for that, God. God, you are faithful, and we don't even recognize that enough. Man, you are so good. And thank you for how you are teaching us this. It's very difficult when we think about what James wrote, that the testing of our faith, we don't like that, but it develops us, and we can be mature and complete. We forget that there's nothing that has tempted us beyond what we can bear. And when we're tempted, you provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. We forget these moments when we go out in our own strength, yet you are pulling us, drawing us back like they drew the net from the water. You are drawing us back in oftentimes difficult moments to you because you desire for us to walk in the way that you have planned for us. You are so good in that. And you provide for us in abundance as the time is right. God, is it now? For those that are struggling here with whatever the issue is that they held out before you, God, is the time now for you to deal with that? If not, give them that word that it's okay to wait, that you're in the waiting, and that you are still there. You will never leave them nor forsake them. God, for those that are struggling with just even who you are today, would they rejoice in the truth that you are the eternal Father, the creator of all things, the lover of our soul, the giver of your very life for us, the way of salvation, the truth and the life. And would they turn their heart towards you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand, and I want to sing I want to sing that song we closed our worship time with together, but now with a little bit sense of urgency here. Oh, the joy I found when I surrendered my crowns at the feet of Jesus, right? And this is your moment. This is your time. Would you just lift it up as a prayer to him? You can have it all. Every part. And then after that, listen, we got a special little closing You Are Love video, and we have cake and cupcakes up here in the front, and so you're not going to want to miss that. So make your way up this way, because I definitely don't need all those. All right? Let's sing this together.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Harvest Bible Chapel in Cambridge, Ohio, check out our website at harvestcambridge.org or like us on Facebook at Harvest Cambridge. You are loved.